Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and welcome to another edition of Perspectives on Healthcare. My guest today is Jack Houston. He goes by Nurse Jack. He is a registered nurse. He has worked in psychiatry as well as surgical and emergency room. He's located in Texas. He is a member of Generation X. He's an author. And Jack, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
Well, I've been basically a nurse all of my adult life and started when I was a teenager going to school. Went through for a registered nurse. I worked a lot of med-surg at first and a little bit of ER. Did some home health nursing. That's basically for the public where you go out to the home and do dressing changes, that type of thing, treatments. And then I worked psychiatry, worked in a couple different prisons, which often when you're working in a prison, you're doing a lot of medical stuff, but you're also doing a lot of psychiatry, because as you could imagine, people in prison, they often have a lot of other issues, which, you know, leads them to prison. So psychiatry is what I've been doing for the last few years. That's my most recent gig.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your experience in as a prison nurse. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Well, I can. It's a lot different than what people think. It depends on the prison or the jail that you're working in. There's a psychiatry component to the area where I was working, so people are quite ill there. And we end up doing a lot of treatments that aren't just physical stuff. We deal with mental health, so we do a lot of treatments like anger management. We specialize in PTSD. You could imagine a lot of inmates have PTSD, so we deal with that. Anger management, and a lot of just real basic stuff people wouldn't think about, but we teach them about how to how to manage their illness, what their illness really is. Because when a young kid who's not doing well at the time gets diagnosed with a mental illness, often they're thinking a little foggy to begin with. So just to tell them, here, read this pamphlet, that doesn't really do it. So sometimes you have to work with them for a while to get them to understand what their illness really is and how to manage it.
Okay. I'm curious about this. Do you feel like mental illness precedes people coming into prison or is a side effect of them being in prison?
Well, it's both. I mean, a lot of the time a person will go through traumatic events as a child, become addicted to drugs or self-medicate, ultimately get into trouble because of their self-medicating, get arrested, come to jail. So they had some psychological issues to begin with. Then they get abused in jail or beaten up or witness another murder of their cellmate or whatever, which happens a lot. So they become further traumatized. Some people just do something bad on the street. They aren't necessarily ill. They come to jail, and then they become traumatized because the things you see in there, they're just never ending,
Yeah.
It's very hard to control.
Got it. From your perspective, this question, I'm excited to ask this. What does quality healthcare mean to you?
Well, it's sad that we even have to ask that question, because we should just assume that we get quality health care. But you do have to ask that question. What does it really mean? Well, to me, when you have a problem, you should be able to go in to see a doctor, the nurses, have them evaluate you properly, tell you what's going to happen, what you need, give you some predictable timelines as to your treatment, and be able to follow through with that. For example, you don't want to go in, well, you might have broke your leg, we'll have to get an MRI. We got an x-ray, doesn't show everything, so we'll get an MRI. Well, depending what state you're living in, depending what insurance you have or what country you're living in, that MRI could be 2 hours later or 4 months later.
Mm.
So is that quality health care? No, that's not quality health care at all, you know. And a lot of the time, if you have to see a surgeon or if you're on a unit, you're hoping you get the good nurse, not the bad nurse or the half-wit.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Because sadly, and that's the same with any profession, I believe, whether you're a school teacher, a police officer, carpenter, there's good and there's bad in everything. But in healthcare, I think we should be able to get the same service everywhere we go, no matter who we are or what we look like. But we don't.
Okay.
And I think it's mainly driven by money.
Hmm. Help me understand this. I'm thinking about how well equipped is the medical center in a prison. Okay. I'm thinking you've got a limited population, but like what do you have access to there, and like how do they handle referrals in and out, or you know, getting something looked at that isn't necessarily available within the hospital?
Well, there, you know, that also depends on the prisons. I've worked in different ones, and some are quite well equipped, and they actually have an in-house hospital ward in the prison, you know, and they have pretty well everything they need. They have x-rays, they have a dentist, they have all kinds of things. Others, pretty sketchy. Like, it depends on the population and the money they're able to put into it. Some, they get a bellyache, the doctor doesn't want to deal with it or put hands on, do a proper assessment, they call and an ambulance has to come. They take them over to the general hospital. Whole lot of money involved there. And risk, because you're transporting a prisoner.
Right.
Which sometimes they get a bellyache on purpose because they know they're going to get a van ride and they can get broken out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's all those factors that come into play. So some are quite good. I know one fellow that works in one prison. He's been a nurse there for years. He's as good as any doctor. He's amazing. And I know other nurses that I wouldn't trust to put a Band-Aid on, you know. And that sounds really negative for me to say, but honestly, I mean, that's the truth. You know, if there's a wide variety of healthcare that's allowed in a prison or a psychiatric hospital, you know, and it depends on the money that goes into it and basically who's at the helm, who's running it all.
Oh, okay. I'm curious, do you feel like the quality of healthcare that prisoners are receiving is up to standard? Or, I mean, because from a societal perspective, these are people that are, you know, they've committed a crime and they're viewed as, you know, less important, or, you know.
Yes, I understand.
So can you talk about what they receive? Oh, yeah, definitely deserve. But is it what they're receiving?
Well, I'll tell you, the last place I worked at, the care they got was in most cases better than most of our staff would get, because when they want something, they get it. They want to see the doctor, they complain they see the doctor that day or 2 or 3 days later. If I want to see my doctor, it's 3 weeks from now or something like that. If I need a scan, it might be weeks or months. Prisoner, they just have to punch a wall. Oh, they can go to the hospital, get an x-ray, you know, come back and punch the wall again to go for another ride and get another donut on the way home. You know, that sounds negative, but honestly, the care they get at the last place I worked was fantastic.
Okay.
The doctors there were great. There was a lot of good nurses there. There was some duds too. I mean, there always is. No matter where you go, there's some that you just can't trust to carry the ball.
But
overall, I would say they got better treatment than most of us living out in the community.
Okay.
You know, because there's also liability that comes into play. You know, if a prisoner doesn't get what they need, then they can go through the whole suing process, and that costs the state a lot of money. You know, now I have been in other prisons where, geez, you know, some of the prisoners are treating patients because they won't see a doctor. They won't see a decent doctor or one that really should have a license, you know, and they go through hell.
Okay.
So it varies greatly. You know, it really does.
Got it. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
Quality healthcare. Well, again, I'll touch back on things should be the same. Quality healthcare should be, no matter if you go to a clinic, your doctor's office, or wherever, with a certain illness, it should be the same everywhere. Quality healthcare should be timely. You should be able to get there fairly quickly and get assessed. And the knowledge base should be the same. Like, you know, some people try to go to a specialist in a certain city because they know they're really going to help them, whereas the one here in town, oh, he's useless. He's no good. The ENT guy here, he won't do anything. He's old. He's waiting to retire. You know, that's not quality healthcare. Quality healthcare should look at everybody the same. Okay. You know, and it should be, you know, it sounds kind of silly here, but if you go to McDonald's, if you go in Houston or in Los Angeles and you get a cheeseburger, it's always the same.
Right.
You know, if McDonald's can do it, why can't healthcare do it? You know what I mean? It's such a simple thing.
Yeah. And interesting. And we don't have that. Sure. It's an interesting question. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
Well, you know, I guess that's probably like a lot of jobs too. Like when I got into this job, I didn't have a clue really what a nurse did. You know, I mean, it's like most jobs. But what people don't understand is what we really do. You know, funny story, my father said when I was first in school, well, it shouldn't be too hard to be a nurse. Somebody's got a headache, give them a pill, fluff an old lady's pillow, tuck her in. I'm thinking, oh, can you imagine this is what some people think a nurse does? You know, we are the frontline person. If you come in and you're having a heart attack or you're having pain in your belly, the doctor doesn't see you. Like the nurse sees you first.
Right.
You know, and you may not see a doctor for 5 or 6 hours in the emergency room because the nurse has triaged you and assessed you. Well, if we do it wrong, you may die while the doctor's busy dealing with other patients that didn't need to be seen as much as you did. So the nurse is really responsible for a lot of things. And on the floor, in the hospital, while you're in hospital in the middle of the night, the nurse is the one that decides whether you're having a problem, you're having a heart attack, or no, you just have gas. You know what I mean? And we do all those assessments. People just don't understand how much stress is on a nurse. They don't understand how much abuse we take, not only verbal from management or patients, but physically. I mean, we have to basically be prepared to never know what day you're going to get beat up or assaulted. It happens a lot, and people just don't realize it.
Wow, that's something I had not thought of, and I appreciate you sharing that.
I'm just going to. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No, sorry. Go ahead and share.
Well, I was just going to say I read one article where actually the most injured job that you could take, the worst job you can take for getting permanent injuries, is of all things being a nurse and being a psychiatric nurse. It beats being a police officer or a fireman. That's what most people would pick. But right. Nurses are hurt physically more than any other occupation.
Okay. A statistic that is startling.
Yeah.
What excites you about the future of healthcare?
Well, you know, I am hoping, I mean, we've had a horrible thing going on with the pandemic here, but I am hoping that all the light that has been shed on what we do, not just nurses, the nurses' aides, the lab techs, everybody, you know, the doctors, everybody involved, paramedics, people are seeing more of what we do and how much strain there is on us. And I hope people get a better understanding of what we need to do and what we need to survive, you know, to have some respect for us. Respect is not... By the way, respect is not throwing more money at us. I mean, that's nice. Yes, everybody would like to get paid more, but that's not respect. We need people to have understanding of just how hard our job really is, what we really do for people, and we sacrifice all the time. Many, many nurses have PTSD, for example. You know, you can't watch, like I refer to this in my book, you know, you can't watch little kids die or... little kid sitting on their dad's lap and he's 35 years old. When are you coming home, daddy? You know, and you know the dad's going to be dead in 3 days or four. You can't handle stuff like that day in and day out and not be affected. People will often say, well, they're trained to handle that. Well, I don't know where that course is, but I missed it because I don't know what course you could ever take that makes you numb to that. And if there was that kind of course, it's a horrible thing because you should never be numb to that, you know. But unfortunately, we really, we really suffer a lot. And of course, you know, chin up, keep doing your job, wipe the tears back because your patient can't see you crying. You know, I mean, that goes on all the time. People don't realize it. They forget that nurses have feelings and emotions too, because we're people.
Sure.
You know?
What, and not only that, but you, you know, you're in the room with the patient who's 35 and is likely not coming home. And, but that's not your only patient. Now, after you're in the room seeing what's going on there, there's somebody next door and they yes. need care, and you don't have the chance to process and to deal with what's happening, during your shift because it's just constant movement and constant care for right. others. Is that correct?
Yes, that's very correct. In fact, you know, when you work med-surg, you know, again, depending on the hospital, but most of them want to make money because money's why they're there, you know.
Sure.
One would think healthcare and caring about people, but no, sadly, money tends to be the bottom line. So we're never given enough staff. Very rarely would that happen, that we get enough staff. I've been in charge of a medical unit with 55 beds. I've been the head nurse, and I've also had 22 patients myself.
Wow.
So who's getting proper care? Nobody. You know, there's patients you won't see for 8 or 10 hours at a time.
Right.
Because you have two or three people bleeding out, one having a heart attack. Now, how do you know that that other person doesn't also need to be going to the ICU because you've never been in the room?
Right.
It's not that you're a bad nurse. That's just normal. Like you cannot process, you know, traumatic things when you see it, plus work at the speed you need to work. Even if everything was hunky-dory, no problems, you still can't see everybody. It's not physically possible.
Sure.
And that happens around the world all the time, and it's getting worse and worse for medical staff.
Okay. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
Well, I think become better educated. You know, some people are very well educated, and it's not just in learning, you know, how to give a needle or how to do this procedure, but educated and well-rounded. Like some people are very good at procedural things, but in psychotherapy or whatever, picking up on other cues with people, they just don't get it. You need to be more well-rounded. We need to take additional courses and things like that. Actually, you need to just listen to the patient sometimes, you know. Right away, healthcare would be better. We have a guy, you refer to him, okay, I got a hip in 54. That means room 54, we got a hip. Well, no, it's not a hip. It's a man with a broken hip. You know, and he's also worried because his wife was in an accident too with him and she's in ICU. So there's all these other things that come into play than just, oh, there's a hip in 54. You have to see the whole picture, treat the whole person, the family. That's the way we're taught. But, you know, I think if we got better at doing that, that being said, it's a hard thing to do because we're also busy all the time.
Sure.
You know, it's hard not to just focus on the hip and then move on. But it's not the right way to do it.
Got it. Hey, I think that's a very fitting way for us to wrap up our time together. Hey, Nurse Jack, thank you very much for being with me, and I appreciate you sharing your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.